We're continuing the shir in Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Cheskes Metaltelin, Halacha Hey, Paragraph Tes Zayin. Rav Nosson Zal speaking about Rosh Hashanah, Sukkos, V'zeh Bechinas Bereishis Boro Likim Es HaShomayim V'Esoretz. Rav Nosson Zal says, based on what we've been discussing over here, the topic of Emunas Chachomim, and realizing that in every word of the Torah, and in certainly in every word and action of the true tzaddikim, and in everything in creation, there's more than meets the eye. There are secrets, there are deep things behind everything. So Rav Nosson Zal says, let's take a look at the opening pasuk of the Torah. Bereishis, the Targum says, b'chochmasa, that Hashem created the world with chochma. Ubevadai ne'elam b'chochmosa yisporach, rozin iloin b'chlal ubefrat. And there is definitely hidden through Hashem's infinite wisdom great, great secrets on a general level regarding the whole creation, ubefrat, and on a detail level, b'chol protei habriya, in each and every single detail of creation. Bechol aver ve'aver shel kol bal chai, in each and every organ of every living thing, uvechol esev esev, and in each blade of grass, uvechol prat uprat, and in each and every single detail, there is tremendous wisdom and depth. The Tikkuni Zohar shows how in every organ of the body of a human being is found Hashem's name and the letters of the alephbeis. Just to give a tiny example, the nose, the way the nose is shaped, the two nostrils represent the two parts of the letter aleph, the upper part of the aleph, the lower part of the aleph, and the pipe in the middle is like a vav. So notice the nose is shaped like the letter aleph, if you perceive it. And the Tikkun HaZohar goes through all the parts of the body, revealing incredible secrets of the names of Hashem that are associated with each part of the body and exactly why and what it represents. Aval, however, the next pasuk tells us, V'horetz hoyso soyhu v'voyu v'choyshech al pnei sohoim, that the world was dark and dark and dark and dark. Bechinas arba malchios. This represents the four kingdoms of the Sitra Achra that would challenge, that would oppose the Jewish people, the four major exiles that the Jews went through. Bavel, the first exile, the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, Nebuchadnezzar. Poras Umodai, the Persians. Yavon, the Greeks. And then Edom, Rome, the Golos that we're in today. Kama Shadosh Rabbi Seinuzal, as our rabbis tell us, Sheheim Yoinkim Michochmois Nefulois, whereby all of these non-Jewish nations, they draw their energy and power from the fallen, from secular wisdoms, which are called Chochmois Nefulois, Shemehem Kol HaChochmois Chitzoinios Shel Hoylam, from which all the secular wisdoms of the world come from. Hein Shel HaMechakrim VaPhilosophim, whether it's the wisdom of the scientists and philosophers, Hein Chochmoy Shel Shtus V'Sheker Shel Shar Hoylam, or the other foolish and false wisdoms of the rest of the world, Umishom Kol HaGolios, and that's the cause of all the different exiles. We know there's a pasuk, Lochein Golo Ami Mibli Das. Hashem says, my nation has been exiled from lack of das. When there is holy das, when there's das of Kedusha, when the Torah is being studied and observed properly, then we're not in exile, then we have geula, then we're in our rightful place, etc. When there's lack of das of Kedusha, when we go away from the Torah, or we exchange the Torah, chas v'shalom, for secular wisdoms, that results in us being exiled. So umishom kol hagolios shebo al yidei zeh kayadua, as is known that all the exiles came as a result of a pegam in chachma, in das. Ukemavor b'makom acher, as we discuss this in another place. Ve'ikar hatzoro hu al yidei hachoshech shal pnei tohoim. And out of all four of these, The worst one is the choishech al pnei sohoim shemarames al hagolus ha'orech hazeh hanikra tohoim, which alludes to the long exile that we're going through today. Kama shekosu b'midrashim, as is found in the Medrash. Ki achshov nispashtu chochmois rois hanal moed. Because nowadays, evil types of knowledge have spread over the whole world. Vehein bechinas tohoim mamish. And they represent the tohoim. Tohoim means complete darkness. Through all of these different types of darkness, nistar venelam moed moed, kol horemozim verozni loin hameirin bechol abriya bechalu beprat. These false wisdoms, these darkness, these different forms of darkness, cover up and hide the hints and the heavenly secrets that shine forth from every aspect of creation. So this is the challenge, this is the problem. On one hand, there's the great Chochmah of Hashem and the Chochmah of the Torah, and on the other hand, there's the opposition, there's the Sitrachra, which fights that with all kinds of a variety of other Chochmahs, whether it's secular Chochmahs or whether it's Chochmah Shel Shtus and Hevel. Television, movies, things like that, which distract 90% of the world from seeking the true purpose of life. Avol, v'ruach Elohim. The pasuk continues there. However, the heavenly spirit of Hashem, and the Zohar HaKadosh says, do ruchoi shel Moshiach. That refers to the spirit of Moshiach, the tzaddik. Shehein bechinas tzadikei emes. That represents the true tzadikim. Bechinas Moshe Moshiach, who are referred to as Moshe Moshiach. The Gemara says that the rabbis, when a rabbi would say something very good, his friend would say to him, Moshe, you said something very good. They nicknamed each other. But Kamei Shekosuv Kama Pomim, as it's written in many places. So the Veruach Elohim, the Pasuk says, Merachefes al Pnei Hamayim. Hovers over the water. Do anpeoi raisa. This refers to the Torah. Alidezeh, and because of the fact that we have this heavenly spirit that hovers over the Torah, the pasuk continues, Vayomer lekim yihi oyer, vayihi oyer. Hashem said, let there be light, and there was light. Oyer do roz. The word oyer, which means light, has the same numerical value as the word roz, which means secret. Kamei shekosu batikunim, as is brought in the Tikkuni Zohar. Kalidei tzadikim elu, nizgalin umeirin rozin bechol protei abriya. Because through these holy tzadikim, who possess this ruach elokim of the Torah, through them is revealed and shines forth the secrets that are found in every single aspect of the creation. Kol tikun abriya, and through this is the whole perfection of creation, she'oimedes al emuna, which stands on faith. What does the whole creation stand on? On emuna. Kemoshikos om Rabbi Senazal, as the Gemara says, bo chavakuk veheemidon alachas. Chavakuk came along, Chavak HaNovi came along, and he showed how the whole Torah stands on one foundation. The foundation is Emunah. This Emunah, this faith in the greatness of Hashem, the greatness of the Torah, the greatness of Tzadikim, that they know everything they do is with deep meaning and deep purpose. And there are secrets behind, under the surface, of everything that we see. Paragraph Yud Zayin. Klal Hadover, to sum up what we've been saying, Ki Ikara Voidosenu Tomid, Bifrat Barosh Hashanah V'Yom Kippur V'Chol Chodesh Tishrei, that the main work of the Jewish people, always, and especially on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and throughout the month of Tishrei, which is called Yerach Hoisonim, the month of the powerful ones, Hu Lahamtik Hadinim, is to sweeten judgments, to eliminate harsh decrees from Hashem. Kayadua, as is known throughout all the Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Chassidus, that's our main mission. We've given an example of this in the past. The Ben Yehoyada, the Ben Ishchai, writes on the story in the Gemara, where the Gemara tells about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal and his son Rabbi Elazar, that they were forced to run for their lives. When Rabbi Shimon Yochai Zal said something against the Roman government, and somebody went ahead and passed it on, spread the word, and they came looking for him to kill him. So at one point, it says that he and his son ran away into the desert, into the wilderness, and they hid out in a cave for 12 years, then another year. And the Gemara says a miracle happened on their behalf, that a buktzer tree, a tree of charuvin, sprouted forth right there where they were, and a spring of water also sprouted forth there, so that they had what to live on, carob and water. The question is, what if they didn't like carob? What if they like vanilla and strawberry? Why did Hashem choose these two things? Every word in the Torah, again, is secrets. There's depth to it. The Ben Ishchai writes in his commentary, Ben Yehoyada, that the word charuv, ches, reish, vav, beis, is bigematria gvura. Mayim, water, is always referred to as meimei hachesed. Hashem was showing Rabbi Shimon and his son, this is your mission. This is what you're here for. Your mission is hamtokas hadinim, to sweeten harsh decrees. The charuv represents gevura, the midas ha-gevura, midas ha-din. The water is the chasodim. Your study of Torah, your tefillah, everything you do is all about sweetening these judgments, all about strengthening the right over the left. Ve'ikram toka sadinim nase al yedei bechinas ure'isiho lizkor bris oilam hanizkar b'mayim razoir anal. And the main accomplishment of this hamtoka sadinim is accomplished through the pasuk we quoted earlier, right after Hashem made the flood, when Hashem had the rainbow shine, and Hashem said, I will look at it, and I will remember the eternal covenant that I made, never to destroy the world again. Shehu al yedei mi sheoivdohi lafoshoto mishchinto levushin de kardenisa. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, who are the ones who are privileged to arouse this kindness of Hashem, to get Hashem to remember this covenant? It's the great tzaddikim who are involved in stripping the Shechina from its dark garments, the pashtin, which are very, very simple garments, ula'al b'shiyasa b'levushin d'nehirin, and to dress the Shechina in garments that shine forth, the rozen, that are generated from secrets of Torah. Again, roz is oir, light, garments of light. V'zeh na'aseh alidei kol b'chinois hamavorim b'mayim ranal. And how is this accomplished? How does one accomplish this hamtoka sadinim? How does one accomplish this removing from the Shechina its dark garments and dressing the Shechina in these garments of light? By fulfilling all the things that are mentioned in that chapter, in chapter 42 in Likutei Moran, the first half of Likutei Moran, which this halacha is based on. Shehem, which are, number one, al yedei shemenagein oisiyos hatfila, by a person singing the letters and the words of their tfilos, of their prayers. V'koil hanigun bezakus ubebehirus. And the song should be pure, clear. It should be something sweet. That's one of the ways that we bring about hamtoka sadinim, through the beautiful sound of tefillah, when it's being given forth by somebody who has this beautiful voice. And this means beautiful beruchnius and begashmius. Val yedei she'oisin levush noel lahatzadik. Another way that this hamtoka sadinim is accomplished is by making a beautiful garment for a tzaddik, val yedei emunas chachomim. And a third way is by having real faith in tzaddikim, shemamin shekol divreim umaseim enoi poshut, which means that the person believes that every word that a tzaddik says and every action of a tzaddik is not simple, Eliyesh Bohen Rosen, but rather there are deep, deep reasons for every single thing that a tzaddik says and everything he does. V'chol zehu bechinas hatekiyos. And all of this is tied into the three sounds of the shofar, kimavura kol zeleil, as we discussed a few pages back. We mentioned that the three sounds of the shofar are represented by the letters kuf, shin, tuf, tkia, shvorim, trua, which is keshes, which corresponds to the three primary colors of the rainbow, which corresponds to Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, who represent emunas tzadikim. We are called ma'aminim, b'nei ma'aminim, that they're the ones who taught us the lesson of faith. The Torah says about Avram Avinu, v'hem in b'ashem, v'yachshaveh lo itztoka, that he showed real, real faith in Hashem. V'chol ha'tikunim anal, and all of these tikunim, anu oiskim bohem b'Rosh Hashanah, uv'chol chodesh Tishrei, we are involved in on Rosh Hashanah and throughout the month of Tishrei. She'oz ikar hamtokas hadinim mikol hashono habo aleinu letoiva. Because on those first 10 days, on the Aseres Yimei Tshuva and throughout the month of Tishrei, we are involved in eliminating all judgments, all harsh decrees for the entire year, for the entire upcoming year. We know the Gemara says that on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem announces what a person's parnosa is going to be, what their destiny is going to be for the whole year. So during that first month, we want to make sure to eliminate any and all dinim, any harsh decrees. V'zeh b'chinas tikkun habris. And this is also tied into the concept of purity in relationships between men and women. B'chinas tikkun chet Adam HaRishon. The correction of the sin of Adam HaRishon, shenivra b'yoyim zeh, b'Rosh Hashanah, who was created on Rosh Hashanah. Upogam bebris kamuva, and it's brought in the Sifrei Kabbalah and other places that Adam HaRishon committed an act of pigama bris on his level. The fact that he didn't wait to consummate his relationship with Chava till Friday night, till Shabbos, this was considered to be an act of pigama bris on his part. She'onu tzrichin l'sakein zois b'Rosh Hashanah. And we are required to correct this on Rosh Hashanah. V'hu'ikar al yedei hatekiyos. And one of the main ways that we accomplish that is through the sounds of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, which is the mitzvah saseh d'oraisa of Rosh Hashanah, which are al yedei horesh ayin tarmutin, through the 270 blasts of the shofar. Kamuva. We know that there are 100 sounds. Tkia, Shvarim, Trua, those are 100. There's a pasuk, Ashrei Ha'om Yoidei Serua. Fortunate is the nation who knows, who understands the sound of the shofar. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the word Yoidei is Bigimatri 100, referring to the 100 koilos of the shofar. Because Midoraisa, it's much less. Midoraisa, you need 9 sounds. But the rabbis learned out that we need a total of 100 sounds. The Zohar HaKadosh shows how those 100 end up being 270, possibly because each one is three different formulas. And we know that the number 270 is the word Ra, which is Pigama Bris. You have the Pasuk in the Chumash, Vayihi Er, Ra be'enei Hashem vayimiseu Hashem. That Er was Ra. Er is Ayin Reish. He was Ra, which is Reish Ayin. And that the Gemara says through Pigama Bris. That's considered, that sin is called Ra. There's a secret that's found in Sifrei Kabbalah. Rabbeinu Zal once made a statement, just again, this is a perfect example of what Rabbeinu Zal is telling us here. That when a tzaddik says something, we have to believe that every word of a tzaddik has secrets in it. Rabbeinu Zal was once talking to his students about Tikkun HaBris, and he said how silly people are. For a 15-minute pleasure, a person is prepared to jeopardize his Olam Hazeh and his Olam Haba. to throw away this world, to forfeit his sacrifice, his family. Yeah, we stories of people who fall to this sin and end up getting divorced, losing their family, losing their job, losing everything in this world and the next world. So Rabbeinu Zal said that word, 15 minute plan. Why didn't he say 18 minutes? Why did he pick 15 minutes? So one of the commentaries, Rav Nachman Shirin writes, that we know that according to the Torah, in the secular world, an hour is divided into 3,600 seconds. An hour is 60 minutes. A minute is 60 seconds. So the hour is divided into 3,600 seconds. According to the Gemara, according to the Torah, an hour is divided into 1,080 chalokim, it's called, 1,080 parts. And that's why on Rosh Chodesh, on Shabbos Mevorachim, when they announce the new moon, they say that the new moon will be revealed at this day, this hour, and so many chalokim. So again, a chalik is 1,080 units, and there's a reason for that. The Tikkuni Zohar says that there's Tiferes and Malchus. Tiferes, the word Tiferes, is 1,081. Malchus is right below Tiferes, in that there's a whole concept of a union between Tiferes and Malchus. So Malchus, which is Tzimtzum, which is time. Time is an aspect of Malchus. Malchus is always a vessel, like the Seder plate. We've given examples of this in the past. So an hour, a unit of time, is a vessel. An hour is this much, no more, no less. An hour contains so much productivity. We measure productivity. How many units can you produce in an hour? That kind of thing. So Malchus is 1,000, is Tatraf, Tof Resh Pei, 1,080, and Tiferes, which is above it sometimes, is 1,081, to show the connection between those. Now, we said that Rabbeinu Zal said for a 15-minute pleasure. How much is 15 minutes to an hour? It's a quarter. 15 minutes is a quarter of an hour. How much is a quarter of 1,080? 270, which is Ra, which is Pegam HaBris. The Tikkun HaZohar says this word Ra, which represents Pegam HaBris. So in this little word, Rabbeinu Zal said a 15-minute pleasure. 15 minutes is these Ra units, where again, a person can use the time for Kedusha, or that's the amount of time to complete this sinful act, Rachmona Litzlan. So every word that comes out of a mouth of a tzaddik is not stam. It's not he picked a number, he happened to pick a number, didn't happen, nothing. It's with tremendous precision. V'chein tzorech kol echot l'sakein pigomim sheloi shenasim al yidei hashchosa zerach hasvishon. And so too, throughout this period of tshuva, throughout this month of Tishrei, each and every Jew has to work at trying to fix any sins that they committed by wasting seed or desecrating seed, chas v'shalom. Shehu b'chinas pegam ha-mabul. That was the pegam of the mabul, k'mo sham Rabbi Senesal, as the Gemara says. It says in the beginning of Parshas Noyach, ki hishchis kol bosor es darko yal oretz, that why was Hashem going ahead with this mabul? Because there was this hashchosa. Hashchos is a term that's applied to this sin, a sin of chas v'shalom, wasting seed or misplacing seed. Interesting to note, most people aren't aware of this. In most machzorim of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, in the Shmoneh Esrei of Musaf, in the repetition, when the Chazan repeats the Shmoneh Esrei, one of the paragraphs in the Shmoneh Esrei on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, just like on all holidays, is the words Umipnei Chatoenu Golinu Me'artzenu. As a result of our sins, we were exiled from our land. So in most good machzorim, on bottom, there's a prayer that's brought from the Chidozal, that's not originated from the Chido. The Chido lived in the 1700s. The Chidozal writes that he found this prayer from the Kadmoinim, from generations earlier. And it's a prayer all about Tikkun HaBris. It's an incredible prayer with mentions certain names of Hashem, it's based on Kabbalah, where a person asks Hashem to help them correct anything they might have done wrong in this area, in the area of Pegam HaBris. And again, when should it be said? While the Chazan is saying the words Umipnei Chatoenu, that whole paragraph which speaks about all the sins we committed that resulted in us being exiled and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and we can't bring sacrifices. I remember watching Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha. He didn't speak about it because this is not something usually you announce publicly. It's a matter of tznius. But he would put his talis over his head completely. And while the Chazan was saying that on Mepnei Chateinu, he would be reciting that prayer underneath, which is an incredible prayer for Tikkun HaBris. So Rav Nosson Zal is showing us that this is one of the highlights of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We want to do tshuva for all of our sins, but especially this item, which is Kolel, the whole Torah. It's brought that the word Bris, Beis Reish Yud Tov, is 612. With the koilel, with the word itself, it's 613. That this one item is considered like all 613 mitzvahs put together. It's called yesoid, foundation. If a person fixes this, they fixed everything. And if a person chas v'shalom messes up in this area, it has negative effects on everything. V'zeh shonu maschilin ha'psukim shel birkas zichroinois, bozeh. And that's why if you look in the Shmon Esrei of Musaf, which is divided into three sections we mentioned earlier, Malchiois, Zichroinois, and Shoifrois, in the section called Zichroinois, where we ask Hashem to remember this and remember this and remember, it begins over there with the story of Noach, how Noach was saved from the flood. Ukamai Shekosov, as it says there, Vegam es Noach, Be Ahavo Zocharta, and Noach also Hashem, you remembered him, Vatifkedehu, and you remembered him and you saved him. Kizeh HaPosuk Hanal, because the Pasuk we quoted earlier, Uri Isiha Lizkoya Bris Oilam, that Hashem will see the rainbow and he'll remember the eternal covenant, Nemar Lenoyach. Those words were said to Noach, Leinyan Tikun Chet HaMabul, regarding the correction of the sin of the flood. Kumeshakosu Beparsha Sakeshes, as it says over there in the Chumash where it speaks about the rainbow, it says, Vahoyo Hakeshes Ba'onon, Hashem says, I'll place the rainbow in the clouds, Uri Isiho, and I'll look at it, Lizko Bris Oilam, to remember the eternal covenant that I made with Noach. And as the Torah continues, this will guarantee that there will never again be a flood that will destroy everything. Alkein, therefore, Rosh Hashanah she'oz hoya hascholas hapigam shel Adam Rishon, on Rosh Hashanah, which was the beginning of the life of Adam Rishon and the beginning of the sin of Adam Rishon, v'hu rishon la'tshuva. And Adam Rishon was the first one to do tshuva. V'ikar ha-tshuva hu al pegam HaBris. And the most important focus of tshuva is on this issue of pegam HaBris. Shehu ikar v'yesoid ha-koil, kayadua. This is the main thing, and this is the foundation upon which everything else rests, as is known in the Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Chasidus, throughout the Torah. Alkein, therefore, anu oiskim oz bechol hatikunim anal. That's why on Rosh Hashanah we're involved in all the tikkunim that we mentioned here. She'al yodom zoichin lebechinas ureisiho liskor brisoilam. Because Rabbeinu Zal writes over there that as a result of all of these tikkunim, what happens? Hashem sees the rainbow. He sees that light which reminds him not to destroy anymore, which is the concept of hamtokas adinim. V'zeh b'chinas ribui hanigunim hanefloim shel yemei Rosh Hashanah v'yom HaKippurim. And this will also explain the multitude of special melodies, holy, holy melodies that they sing in the shuls on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur that are passed down from generation to generation. Shekol Yisroel oiskim bohem b'tfilois, where all of Klal Yisroel is involved in the prayers, Shemenagnim hatfilos hakdoshim. We sing those holy prayers, especially on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. V'hapiyutim benigunim mesukim v'noiroim, with sweet, awesome songs, melodies. V'chol zeh, what is it all about? Kedei liskois lebechinas urisio liskor. Because Rabbeinu Zal says over there in that chapter in the Kutimran, that a person who sings the words of tefillah with a true kosher sweetness, with a holy sweetness, that brings about all of these tikkunim. K'may shekosa b'tchilas ha-Torah now, as Rabbeinu Zal writes in the beginning of chapter 42 over there, that mi shemenagein oiseis ha-tefillah, that a person who sings the words of tefillah, Dovid HaMelech was called Ne'im Zmirois Yisrael, the sweet singer of Klal Yisrael. Tefillah is not a death march, and tefillah is not something that a person says with lack of joy, with lack of feeling. Tefillah is an expression of feelings of the heart. V'alkein be'emes, tzrichin lachsoir ulahader mo'id, achar chazen v'shliat tzibur. And therefore, the truth is that a community has to search and try very hard to choose the best chazan and shliat tzibur. Sheyihye ish kosher v'yoshar. Number one, he should be religious. In many of the modern synagogues, they have chazonim who have soprano voices and tenor voices and bozo voices, and they're not shomer Shabbos. They don't keep kosher. On Rosh Hashanah, they can watch TV. I know this firsthand. I've seen this. Ad kedei kach. A chazan who's performing, or a choir that's performing for 1,000 people, and all of that, and they don't. They drive to. They could drive to shul. They could. And we're not talking even conservative. And chas v'shalom, this crosses all kinds of lines. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't just say this stam, that you have to search, you have to be careful to make sure you choose ish kosher, a person who's really religious, v'yoshar. Maze yoshar, a person who doesn't steal, doesn't rip off people. A person can be very religious, he's got the longest tzitzis and the shiniest tefillin, but there's no yashrus, Rachmona Litzlan. When he deals in business with people, he makes chil Hashem, he robs people, steals, swindles, all kinds of things. So it's got to be kosher, v'yoshar, v'koiloi noim, and his voice should be sweet, should be pleasant, it should be inspiring, it should arouse the people to want to participate, to want to join in and sing in the tefillos. K'may shekosu b'shulchan aruch, as is written very clearly in the Shulchan Aruch, ki kol hamtokas hadinim al yodoi, because this whole process of sweetening the dinim, of eliminating the judgments, he's the one that's leading that. The chazan, the shliat tzibur, is leading that. You better make sure you have somebody who's really religious, really qualified. This is not an easy thing, not simple. V'ze b'chinas ribui hatzo'okois v'hakoilois hanoirois she'tzoyakim kol Yisrael bayomim ho'elu. And this will also explain the screams and the crying out, the loud prayers that Jews pray on these days, on Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Rav Nosson Zal uses the words kol Yisrael, all Jews. All the Jews that he knew, this is what they did. We know, unfortunately, today you can go into shuls and it's a morgue. It's quiet, nobody makes a sound. Unfortunately, many of the people don't pray, they don't move their lips, they figure the chazan is covering for them. They don't have to say the words, chas v'shalom. Or if they do say the words, quiet, not to put any feeling into it, not to put any power into it. When the Torah says, kol atzmoy say tomarna, that when a person is speaking to Hashem, they have to speak with every part of their body, to put everything into it. And the Shulchan Aruch says, during the year, people don't necessarily raise their voices. But during these days, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aseres Yimei Tshuva, Elul, which is a time that all Jews are supposed to get more serious about tefillah, about prayer, so everybody puts a little more into it. So everybody's davening louder than usual. So a person's allowed to raise their voice, raise the volume a little, put more feeling in it, because he's not going to necessarily disturb somebody else if everybody's davening a little bit loud. With the exception of Shmon Esrei, the silent Shmon Esrei, here there's some discussion in the Poskim. All Poskim warn that even though Shema and everything you're going to be saying loud, when it comes to Shmon Esrei, you're not allowed to be heard by somebody next to you. That everybody agrees. You're not allowed to be saying the words of the silent Shmon Esrei, making enough noise that the guy next to you can hear you. That everybody agrees. There's a difference among the Poskim. There are some Poskim that say that you can hear your own words. That you can, when you're davening the silent Shmon Esrei, you can mouth the words in such a way that you hear, where you hear what you're saying, but again, your neighbor doesn't. There are other poskim that say, based on Sifrei Kabbalah, the Zohar Kodesh, and the Arizal say, that when davening the silent Shmon Esrei, no sound at all, no sound. Move your lips, put power into it. A person could be saying it with full power, but the sound is not escaping from his lips. It's going from his heart to his brain. The lips are moving, but no sound coming out of his lips at all that can even be heard by him. Real silent, according to some opinions. Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Levracha, emphasized this very much based on the Arizal, based on different tzaddikim who knew the secrets of tefillah. So now Rav Nosal says, and now you'll understand why, again, in all good shuls, there's a lot of noise, of prayer noise, during these days, during the month of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, HaKoil Kedei Lo'ir HaKoil HaNegila Anal. All of this is about activating the sound of that negina that Rabbeinu Zal speaks about over there in chapter 42, Shehu Bechinas Tikun Hakeshes, which is the Tikun of the rainbow, Lizkois Sheyia Hakoil Bezakus Ubebehirus, so that we should be zoicha, that the sound should come forth with clarity, with perfect clarity and beauty, Kedei Lahamtik Hadinim, in order to succeed in sweetening all judgments, in removing all harsh decrees. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, Ureisiha, I will see it, and I'll remember not to destroy, Hashem said. Ki machmas sheroiv bnei yodom einom zoichim sheyie koil neginosom bezakus ubebehirus. Rav Nosson Zal writes, because of the fact that most people are not zoiche, that their voice is super pure. Why? Mei ribui pigamov, as a result of our many sins, Rachmona Litzlan. V'chasher yodea kol echod benafshoy, as each and every one of us knows very well about ourselves, that we're far from perfect. We've done many things not right, and as a result, our voice does not have that spiritual purity that glows to Hashem. Al kein tzrichin litzoik harbe min halev, bekoilois rabim adirim. Therefore, what do? We have to scream to Hashem a lot from our heart, with a lot of screams, powerful screams. Ad sheyo'ire rachme Hashem yisborach, until we'll succeed in arousing Hashem's kindness, sheyistakel al pnimius de pnimius hakoilos, so that Hashem will look inside the inner parts of our screams. Even if on the outside, our voices are full of junk, full of all kinds of not good things, but inside, there's some good, there's some sincerity there, there's some genuineness, there's some honesty there. So a person has to scream so many screams until Hashem will hear, and Hashem will be able to look inside, in the inner sanctum of the sound, in which there's hidden shenelom bahem toiv harbe, in which there's hidden a lot of good. Bechinas koil zach ubohir, a sweet, sweet sound. Sometimes when you strip away the layers, you have something that on the outside, a person buys a vegetable sometimes. He buys a head of cabbage, let's say. And on the outside, there's black, it's dirty. The person, why are you buying that? It's nothing. It's just the outer leaves are like that. I know if I peel away 2-3 layers, on the inside, it could be shining, clean, and nice. Here also, if a person puts forth a lot of tefillah from their heart, we hope that Hashem, even if a lot of it has, a lot of us, has a lot of things that need to be filtered out, Hashem will strip away the outer layers and take the inside, the pure inside, and use that to affect the tikkun that's needed. Interesting analogy. It's brought Hashem's name, the name of Hashem, which is Midas Hadin, which is judgment, is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. In Aramaic, the word Dina, Dina de Malchus Adina, the Gemara says. The law of the government is law. So Dina, Dalet Yud Nun Aleph, is Hashem's name, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is the name of judgment, harshness. The Arizal says, let's see what's inside of it. Let's see what's inside. Each one of those four letters is comprised of three letters. The letter Aleph, when you pronounce it, it's as if it were Aleph Lamed Pei. Dalet, Dalet Lamed Tov. Nun, Nun Vav Nun. Yud, Yud Vav Dalet. The Arizal says, let's take the middle. Let's take out the middle. The middle of Aleph is a Lamed. The middle of Dalet is a Lamed. The middle of Nun is a Vav. The middle of Yud is a Vav. Lamed, Lamed, Vav, Vav is 72, which is Chesed. And he says that this is, when we talk about the Shekhinah, when we talk about the Malchus of Hashem, on the outside, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem is judgment, he's a king, there's a pasuk, Melech b'mishpot yamed eretz. But it's only on the outside. On the inside, Hashem is a sweetheart. Hashem is all Chesed, white, just like an apple. The Malchus is compared to an apple, Chakal Tepuchim Gadishim. What color is an apple? Red, delicious. Everybody knows, red. Look at that, bright red, bright, bright red color. How much red? A millimeter. You take off the peel, that millimeter of red, 99.9% of it is love. Ahava. Toichoi, it says in the Shir HaShirim, Merkovoi Argomon, the throne of Hashem, the chariot of Hashem is purple wool. Purple is red, from the family of red, dark, dark, dark red. Toichoi rotsuf ahava. But the inside is lined with love. This symbol. So here again, in our prayers, if a person knows he committed hundreds of sins, and here he's talking to Hashem, and every word coming out of his mouth has all kinds of dirt on it, all over. But Rav Nosson Zal says, if you'll try to scream from your heart, to bring out the prayer from the depths of your heart, and more and more and more, then even if there are any layers that need to be stripped away, Hashem will strip away those layers, and Hashem will come to the pnimi de pnimi, the inner feelings of the person, which are pure, and that'll bring about the hamtoka sadinim. And this is the famous sentence in chapter 130 of Tehillim, which is one of the most special prayers that we recite on Rosh Hashanah in the Shachris, and throughout Aseres Yimei Tshuva, we air that in the Shachris, Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yimei Tshuva, and Yom Kippur, where we say, Mima'amakim kirosicho Hashem, that we're calling out to Hashem from the depths. She'oimrim lefon av Yisborach, which we say to Hashem, that what do we mean by, what do we mean from the depths? That af al pi she'ein koileinu oileyofer, even though our voice doesn't sound nice to you, Hashem, it's not pretty, because you're so angry at us for the thousands and thousands of things that we did wrong. When you have somebody who hurt you 1,000 different ways, and then you hear the doorbell ring to your house, and your wife opens the door, who is it? And the person says, it's me. and you recognize that it's the voice of your enemy, a person who did thousands of things to hurt you, just hearing that voice is yuch. It's get him out of here. I don't want to hear that. Chas v'shalom. Afal pikein, despite that, be'imke amkus, in the depth of the depth, hakoil yoitze me'oime kalev, that the voice is coming out from the depths of the heart. Bevadai hakoil tzach vozach. And there, it's definitely pure, pure. Ki bepnimius, depnimius, kol echod mi Yisrael, zach vozach, beinev yisporach moed. Because in the inner of each and every single Jew is pure and beloved in the eyes of Hashem. It's just a question of how many layers of junk we've put over that with our sins. Avol afilu hapogum v'hamaluchloch b'maisov moed. Even a person who's defective and filthy as a result of all of his sins, everything he did wrong, that's the outside, it's on the exterior. Under those layers of filth and filth and filth, there's a jewel, there's a diamond, there's a holy, pure neshama. There's what's called the pintel yid, that spark, that holy spark of a Jew. Ki bechol echod mi Yisrael yesh nekudois, toivois, yekorois, vezakois, moed, ki yadua. Because in each and every single Jew, there are good, precious, pure, holy points. Vezehu, and this is why we say in that chapter of Tehillim, Mimamakim, Hashem shimo bekoili, Hashem, listen to my voice. Tihieno oznecho kashuvois lekoil tachanunoi. Let your ears be open and prepared to receive the sound of my pleading. Hainu, what do we mean? What are we saying there? She'onu mevakshim, we're pleading and begging with Hashem. She'af al pi she'ein onu zakoin, that even though we are not pure, even though we are not worthy, afal pikein yishma bekoileinu, still, please listen to our voice. V'yakshiv oznov lekoil tachnuneinu, and let your ears hear the sound of our pleadings. Kitzorich kaviyochol lishma ulahakshiv oznov heitev lekoileinu. What do we mean? What we mean is Hashem, listen carefully. I know when you first hear the sound of our voice, it stinks. It's yuch. You want to run the other way. But Hashem, if you listen carefully, you'll hear that behind the ugliness, there's a sweetness, there's a purity behind that. If you'll be able to take away, which Hashem can do, to strip away the layers of filth and everything that we put on with all of our misdeeds, you'll be able to hear Kedei Shivarer Mishom Koil Zach Votzach, so that Hashem will be able to extract from there a pure, pure sound, me'imke amokim, from our inner depths, kedei lahamtik hadinim, in order to sweeten all the judgments. In one of the stories in Sipurim Isis, I believe it's the story of the prince and the pauper that got switched. It's a very long story, very deep, incredible things in it. Towards the middle of the story, someone takes the true prince into the forest, deep into the forest, not forest, into the wilderness, where there's no humans, where there's man-eating animals only, like. And he's terrified, and at night he climbs up on a tree, and he sleeps there, he hears all the sounds of the night, the roars, the different, the leopards and the panthers and the lions and the everything, and he's terrified. And the person takes him to a certain location and says to him, stay here, you'll be safe. And when he's there at night, he hears the roaring and everything, and it's terrifying. A short while later, he's listening to the sounds, and he's listening carefully, and he hears they're singing a song. It's not just roar, bore. There's a song, an incredible, incredible song that's being sung by all of these animals, these wild animals are actually singing a song that's deeper, that's more profound than anything you ever heard before. Here, Rav Nelson Zal is giving an example. You go into a shul, everybody's yelling this, that. If they're sincere, if they're real, Each person is yelling because people know that people are thinking about a whole year that they were asleep. They were spiritually asleep, or they were doing terrible things. And everybody's been told, the rabbis have inspired people and what the books everybody's reading, to turn everybody on, that this is your chance. This is your last chance to fix the previous year and to try to get Hashem to decree life for you. Hashem's going to make a decision whether you're going to live or you're going to die, by fire or by water, Achmar, the things we say on Rosh Hashanah. So this is it. This is one opportunity that a person has to really put everything into it. So again, people are screaming, those that are zoicha to put power into the tefillah and everything, and the outer layers of it could sound like a roar, like a lot of noise. But if a person listens carefully, and he looks at the Jew, he looks at the pure Jew that's inside of every single Jew, that Nekuda Toiva, he hears a melody, he hears a sweetness, something that's super, super special. And this is what the Torah tells us about when the Jews were in Egypt. And we were there for 210 years. And when the time came to go, it says Hashem heard our screams. Vayizkor Elokim es brisoi, and Hashem remembered his covenant, es Avraham, es Yitzchok, ves Yaakov. Hainu shebemitzrayim, shoho Yisrael mishukom bememtes sharitum, in Egypt, where the Jews were steeped in all 49 levels of impurity. Shebevadai loyhoyo koilom zach koroi, where as a result of that, our voices were not pure. They weren't lily white. Afal pikein, despite that, al yidei ribui hatzaokos shetzoak was, because we screamed so much to Hashem, so many screams, k'may shekosov sam, as it says clearly in the Torah, vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael al Hashem, that the Jewish people cried out to Hashem. What did it result in? Vayishma lekimis nakosom. Hashem heard our screams. Vayiskor lekimis brisoy esavram esiskov esyakoy. Shehu schusavos. This is what activated the merit of our forefathers. This is what reminded Hashem of the rainbow, the schus of Avram Yitzchok Yaakov. Shubchinas urisio liskor brisanal. Shezoichen lezeh al yidei koil negina. Kishahu bezaku suba behirus, which we're zoicha to through the beautiful melody when it's being sung with real, real purity. Avol b'mitzrayim shaloi zochu adayin l'koil kozer. However, in Egypt, when we were not yet zoicha to that purity, oiraru rachme Hashem yisborach ayidei ribu yatzokos. So how did we get Hashem, how did we turn Hashem on? How did we draw that superpower? By screaming a lot, by a lot of screaming and a lot of crying. Ad sheshoma elokim es nakosam, until the Torah testifies that Hashem heard those screams. Vayizkor es bris, the Hainz shubchinas risia, vechenhu bechol zman. And again, why does that story appear in the Torah? The Torah is not a storybook. The Torah is to teach us. Why does the Torah tell us this is what they did in Egypt? Because this is what the Jewish people are supposed to do in every generation. Bifrat b'Rosh Hashanah, especially b'Rosh Hashanah, v'Yom Kippur, v'Yom Emnayroim, and on these days of war, Shemach Mashonu Yoidim, she'ein koileinu zach v'tzach. Because of the fact that we realize and we know that our voices are not pure, not wholly pure. Tzrichen litzoik b'koilo is harbe. We have to do a lot of screaming at sheyishma Hashem, until Hashem will listen. Ve'yivchar mishom koil noem vozach, and Hashem will filter out, he'll extract a little bit of sweetness, a little bit of juice, a little bit of beauty in all of our screams. Lahamtik kol hadinim me'oleinu, in order to sweeten all the decrees, all the judgments, to remove them all from us. I remember hearing from Rab Nachman Burstein, Zichron Avrocha, he would quote very often, there's a Gemara that says, Toiv ma'at bekavona, meharbe shaloi bekavona. If a person has a choice of saying five chapters of Tehillim, he's got 5 minutes. He can say five chapters of Tehillim quickly, where he won't really be able to concentrate on the meaning of the words, Or you can say one chapter and say it slowly and feel every single word that he's saying. The Gemara says, better a little bit with kavana than a lot without kavana. Another interpretation that people give of that Gemara is, toiv me'at bekavana. It's very, very good to have a little bit with kavana. How do you get to have a little bit with kavana? Mehar be shaloi bekavana. If you'll pray 100 prayers, if you'll shoot 100 bullets, 2 of them will be a bullseye. If you'll pray a lot, even though the lot is not, from that lot, there'll be a couple that'll hit the bullseye, that'll have the real kavana. A person prays to Hashem, somebody davens Shmon Esrei, and most of the time he's not zecher to have his heart in it. So a person says, why should I do it? Why should you do it? Because one day your heart is going to open up, and you're going to cry in Shmon Esrei, and that day will make up for all the other days. That day comes because you tried 100 times, 2 of them or 1 of them was a home run, and that one takes up with it all the other ones. V'zeh b'chinas ma'shoimrim ho'ilam, and this is also, Rav Nosson says, what people say, she'yecholin lovoy l'koil negina noe al yidei tzo'oko v'haromas koil harbe. That a person can get to a very sweet sounding sound by screaming and raising your voice very high, as chazonim are known to do sometimes. Sometimes they raise their voice very, very high, that he's screaming out to get to a certain pure sound. That there is such a concept that sometimes when a person raises the volume and the power of the voice becomes clearer. It gets rid of some of the chaff, some of the things that are blocking the sound from being really crystal clear. And as the volume's going up, getting to a higher level of clarity. And just like this works on a physical level, it works this way also spiritually. Shafil mishehu pogum ma'oid. Even a person who is very, very messed up spiritually, committed many, many sins. Ve'ein koiloi zach votzach klal. And his voice is not pure or sweet at all whatsoever. Yochoy lovoy l'koil zachu bohir. Can get to generate a sweet, clear, beautiful sound. By screaming to Hashem a lot, until Hashem will take pity on him, and sweeten, remove from him all the judgments, through that concept of Hashem seeing what's inside the coil, seeing the rainbow, all the things we mentioned earlier. We'll hold it over here.